I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ken Dowd at AM 590 The Answer with Duty, Honor, Country. Thank you for listening. And today we have a fantastic guest with us by the name of Robert Grant. His father was J.J. Grant. He was a pilot out of J.J. was a pilot out of Iwo Jima, and we'll call him a VLR pilot. And what I will do is we'll go into that later, and we'll let Robert pretty much do a lot of the talking today. I was fortunate enough to sit in on a seminar with him and believe it or not, two pilots that flew out of Iwo Jima. And we only have a short time, which is an hour, to talk about this. And Robert was there for 2 hours, and I know that he had a whole lot more to say. So we're going to squeeze a whole lot of information and into an hour. And I'd like to just to begin with, I want to just bring up a couple of points which have absolutely nothing to do with Iwo Jima, but it's something that was in the news that rather was disturbing. We keep hearing about sending jobs overseas, and our president's very concerned about Bain Capital and so forth, but you know, we just had a situation happen recently where Beechcraft was denied a big Air Force contract in favor of a Brazilian company, which has George Soros connections. This contract was worth $355 million. Beechcraft, after this whole thing went down, filed bankruptcy. Now, Embraer is the name of the company out of Brazil, and they will now be building our aircraft, which are, we call it, the name of the aircraft is the Tucano. I believe it's the Embraer, and ours would have been the T-6, which has been built for a while, which is a fantastic trainer. But for some reason or other, Beechcraft was pushed out of the bidding, and I'll let you decide why. A company owned by George Soros, and that our president has something to do with, was awarded the contract. I hate to see that. That's Beechcraft that filed bankruptcy just recently. It's a terrible situation. And anyhow, so from there, we're going to get on to Robert. And hey, Robert, welcome. Thanks a lot for coming to the show. We appreciate it. He come in a long ways. And Robert, why don't you tell us about the a little bit about the background of the 506th out of Iwo?
All right, thank you, Ken. The 506th group was basically set up back in 1944, and the War Department at that time must have known that they were going to take Iwo Jima, even way back then, because they were trained right from the get-go to fly long, strenuous hours in their P-51s that they were given. And they were based out of Lakeland, Florida. And so they used to fly to Dallas, to Chicago, to Washington, D.C., and just basically spent, you know, a lot of a day flying, and were training up to be able to make long distance, nonstop flights out and back. And which they were had to do once they knew they were going to Iwo Jima, which they hadn't been told until they were actually on their way. They were split up into two different sections. One went by land across country from Florida to California, and then disembarked on a hospital ship, a Dutch ship, actually.
Pretty secretive mission, in other words.
Yes, they were not told where they're going. They had an idea because, you know, the news that the battle was going on was actually while they were on their way across the Pacific Ocean. They went from California to Hawaii. They stayed there for 3 days, I believe, and then moved on to Eniwetok, and then went on to Iwo Jima. I believe it was about a 45-day journey. Many of the guys were sick and didn't enjoy that very much. Being fighter pilots, they didn't want to be on the water. But they got word that on February 19th that the invasion of Iwo Jima was taking place. And then it all started to come to fruition to them to understand that they were probably targeted for Iwo Jima because they had been making, you know, 650 mile out and then another 650 miles back at times in their training. They didn't do a lot of combat type of training, such as strafing and bombing and things of this sort. They did have that training, but a lot of it was just to get used to the long hours in the P-51D model that was a single engine fighter, of course, and that many hours. I've talked to pilots even today that fly P-51s, and they say after about 2 hours they've had enough because of the noise, the vibration, and they also flew in formation also. So, you know, they would spread out a little bit, but they had that to contend with on their missions. But basically, to get back to where they started from, they did all this training, and the other echelon actually went by air, and they didn't fly, of course. That single-engine fighter couldn't make it to Hawaii from the California coast, so they had these troop aircraft carriers, they were called, and they carried planes, and they were smaller versions of aircraft carriers that were being built at that time, and all they did was ferry airplanes to some of the outer reaches of the islands where they're difficult to get to even by flying them in. So they took an aircraft carrier, and that was called the Air Echelon, and okay. They went there. And then actually went to Tinian, where they disembarked all the P-51s on barges, and then got them refitted for flight. And then they spent about 6 weeks there, just training and doing. And they actually did a one mission to Iwo Jima to protect some of the bombers that were then attacking the island.
Now, Robert, Let's tell the audience that some of these people do not maybe realize how important Iwo was, but can you tell us why it was so important?
Sure. Like I say, the War Department must have known that they were going to take Iwo Jima even back in 1944 because they knew that the P-51D model with external gas tanks, they started with 110-gallon tanks on each wing, and with the fuel in the fuselage, which was a 90-gallon tank behind the pilot, and also had get fuel in the wings too, that this aircraft would be able to go farther than, with, say, you know, England to Berlin.
Right.
It would actually be a much longer distance getting from, with, say, Iwo Jima to Tokyo. But that, with careful fuel management and with trained pilots that were used to this type of flying, that those missions could be accomplished. So they actually got word on ship and when they were on Tinian that they were going to go to Iwo Jima once the island had been taken, because they were still fighting at the time on the island.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that those were some pretty long trips afterwards. I was going to mention that my oldest brother is a civilian P-51 pilot, and he always talked about how it was great that he could go out and fly a P-51, not have to pay for the gas. And he said it was especially great that he didn't have to get shot at.
Exactly. We'll talk about my dad, who was Captain J.J. Grant, and some of his experiences. I have over 100 letters that he wrote home to my mother. I wasn't born at the time. I was born in 1949. But I have these wonderful letters that he wrote for me, and they are not necessarily love letters. There's a lot about what went on the island and his friends and buddies that he flew with and some that didn't come back, and the conditions on Iwo and the different missions too. So
great. How did you get involved with the 506th? Because of your father, I would imagine.
Yes. My dad was instrumental in starting the first reunion, was 1985. And at that time, it was just for the 462nd Fighter Squadron. The 506 fighter group, by the way, is made up of three squadrons, the 457th, 458th and the 462nd. And my dad, Captain J.J. Grant, they called him J.J. His name was John Joseph. And the pilots had a tendency to always, you know, nickname somebody. Sometimes they call him Snake because he was tall and slender, or J.J. because it was John Joseph. And so they always, a lot of pilots had nicknames, as well as they named their planes, either nicknames or after their spouses. We'll talk about my dad's plane also.
I was going to say that the squadrons were, each one had their own color. They had the yellow tail, the green tail, and the blue tail. And your father was one of the yellow tails.
Right. Yellow tails was for the 462nd. And they had their own squadron insignia also that would represent an airplane in either Lightning or something, you know, something of note about their intent toward the Japanese Empire at the time. And so they could recognize each other in the air, as well as B-29s that they were escorting would know that they were friendly aircraft.
What we're going to do is we're going to head to commercial here real soon, but don't anybody go away. Robert is going to talk about Black Friday, which was a disaster in the sky for the U.S., and this man has all sorts of information. So thank you very much, and don't go away, and we'll be right back.